Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. This morning, for those of you listening on our Minnesota Military Radio network, we're recording live from Gregan's Resort on Gull Lake. And we've been up here all weekend to learn about the Ride for Healing to recognize our Vietnam veterans and raise money for the History Center at the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. So we'll get into that in just a moment, but first it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
What a tremendous week this has been. The VFW Ride for Healing kicked off on Monday. Classic cars and motorcycles journeyed through all four corners of Minnesota all week. Together, they stopped at 22 VFWs honoring Vietnam veterans and raising money for the Education Center at the National Vietnam Veterans Memorial. The long list of names etched in the smooth black granite of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial wall are faceless. They have no context, no connection. Yet over the years, more than 200,000 items have been left at the wall. These items have been stored and cared for. The Education Center will be an interactive journey through layers of storytelling and history. The items once left behind will take center stage in telling the stories of the service members who gave their lives in Vietnam. I commend the VFW State Commander, Lee Alfertz, on this project. The Ride for Healing has connected veterans, raised money for the Education Center, and has illustrated the amazing work our veteran community can accomplish. Just as the Vietnam War generation relied on diverse groups of service members, so too does the Minnesota National Guard today. I am proud to lead these soldiers and airmen. They are instilled with the personal courage that our Vietnam veterans display through events like Ride for Healing.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we're recording live from the dining room at Craigan's Resort on Gull Lake, and we're up here in support of the Ride for Healing. Joining me this morning is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelito, and our state's VFW Department Commander, Lee Alfertz. Gentlemen, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be here.
Lee, I want to start with you this morning. A whole lot of people put a whole lot of time in this week for something, a brainstorm that you had, and you went over and talked to the commissioner about. Was a pretty good week, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic week. We covered 60 different posts throughout the state of Minnesota. We figure we touched over 600 Vietnam veterans personally with a message of hope and of healing to them. It's just been a fantastic week.
Lee, let's back up a little bit. Can you tell us what this idea was all about and what you were trying to accomplish?
As I've been involved in the Veterans of Foreign Wars and in my own personal life, I've known for years that the Vietnam veteran in particular has carried a burden that is far too heavy for any one person to carry. And that's a burden of his service in Vietnam, the scorn of a country that rejected him when he returned. And it was something that veteran needed healing from before they passed from this earth. So it occurred to me that we need to have an event, especially in outstate Minnesota, where there's really not been too many of these things, that welcomed them home, that touched them, and brought some of that healing to them.
Well, it was quite a project, Lee, and you're coming down to the end of a year, and wow, what a week. Commissioner, you and I have talked before. We're both Vietnam veterans. What do you think of this Marine here and the job he's done the last week and the purpose of this whole Ride for Healing?
Well, I'm just totally honored. Yeah. This weekend is what I would call a transformational weekend, and it's going to be the cornerstone, I think, that we build on for the next 12, 13 years, as we're talking about in because the Ride for Healing is just not an event. It's an experience, And the next 13 years, if I have anything to say about it, it's going to be continued, honored, and nurtured, if you will, to make sure that everyone gets that welcome home. Because there's, I wish we had a tape of what Lee talked about yesterday, because I think every veteran needs to hear that. And understand that there's a lot of people that do care, and we're going to make sure it works well for everyone.
Commissioner, I think we might have a tape on that. I think they got him on film, so we'll see how that turned out.
Oh, outstanding. Lee, you're going to be a rock star.
I'll go viral, right?
Commissioner, I want to get back to those 13 years for a minute. Last February, or this past February, we had the 40th anniversary of the return of our Vietnam POWs, and we had a big show on that on the air. And you're talking about the 50th anniversary, but it's the 50th anniversary of our Vietnam veterans coming home year over year over year, going back to, what,
62, 63, right in there. I used the analogy once as a young high school student watching a TV show called The Twilight Zone, and in that show they talked about I think it was Jack Klugman had a discussion with the devil because his son was going to was dying. And then I'll never forget the phrase. It was in this place, and he was shaking his head because he had never heard it before. It was called Vietnam. And then when you're in high school, all of a sudden you graduate, and then all of a sudden you find out. In my case, I went to college, so that was a deferment. But 10 days after I graduated from college, guess what I was doing?
I would say you were a young infantry officer on the way to Vietnam, sir.
That's correct.
It wasn't much of a deferment, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was. They gave me an offer I couldn't refuse.
But Lee, for those that don't know you, what year were you in Vietnam?
1969.
With the United States Marine Corps?
Yes, sir.
And part of this entire idea for Ride for Healings has been about you clearing your mind and dealing with the demons from that tour.
Absolutely. It's been a long process. Not always an easy process, and in many cases a painful process, but the healing is finally coming, and I need other veterans to feel that peace before they pass.
Lee, I think we should talk one more time. How many volunteers did you have on your committee? How many VFWs one more time did you visit? And how many lives do you think you touched this week?
Oh, gosh, the volunteers. And I have to take my hats off to the volunteers in Brainerd, Minnesota. I have never in my life worked with a group of volunteers that has so poured their hearts out to this cause, and they have put their lives into it. We've been meeting since last October was our first face-to-face meeting. We've had conference calls weekly. We've had all kinds of meetings. There are probably 10 key people up here that have just put all the parts together to make yesterday the memorable event that it was. But through the week, we did stop at 60 different posts. We started on Monday noon at the state capitol, and we were able to ride through God's tears all week and arrived here finally on Friday. I would say that we've touched in excess of 600 Vietnam veterans personally on a one-to-one basis.
Lee, I want you to, you told me a story about, I think it happened several times this week, but there was a guy in one of the VFW posts that first time anyone ever thanked him for being in Vietnam, and it was a touching story. Can you share that with us?
Well, this has happened so many times, but I mean, especially on this ride, as we got into the rural communities, there are people that have lived since the day they came home and they took off their uniform, put it in the closet, and forgot about their service. They didn't talk about it. They didn't share it. No one ever said thank you. No one ever said welcome home. They watch the parades of our current conflict generation, and believe me, I'm committed that these kids coming home today need a parade. They need all of the thanks we can give them. But they had none of that, and it just added to their hurt and their burden. And when they finally get that first hug, that first welcome home, it's a very, very emotional experience.
Commissioner, you told me the story that you're getting reports now from some of our Vietnam buddies that came home, went to college, started a family, mm-hmm. worked hard all their life, and all of a sudden they're retiring and they've got time on their hands.
Yeah, actually, retirement is almost an enemy. I say that very sincerely, because with the time on the hands, they have time to think. You know, a lot of people, when they came home, just immersed themselves, and that was their... That was their...
Put your head down and get to work.
Get to work and work. They had something to do every day. And so then all of a sudden, when they have time on their hands, they said, oh, my God, what's going to happen? And they start bubbling up. And I actually, it's been generational, because I first saw it with the Korean, or the World War II, then the Korean veterans, and now the Vietnam veterans. I could have retired a few years ago, but I'm not going to. I just don't want it to happen.
Commissioner, you traded the command of 14,000 Minnesota National Guard troops for to take over the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. How many veterans are you responsible for watching out for?
372,933, according to the VA.
Yeah. And, Commissioner, some of those, as we said, are reaching retirement age, and so you're getting some new claims from Vietnam veterans having trouble with PTSD and all kinds of things.
Yes. And, well, Minnesota, I'm very, very proud of the team that we have. There's a lot of work that we need to do and continue to do, but it's the county veteran service officers are out there. And to the listening audience, if you have not, here's the message I'm really trying to get out there. Vietnam vets, you've got a mission. And first of all, go see your county veteran service officer to find out what benefits you do have. And I don't want to hear, well, I don't need anything. What I want to hear is, okay, if you don't need anything, it's for your spouse.
Commissioner is going to be back with us in the fourth segment, but we have to take a short break here and go to commercials. As I said, we're recording live from the dining room at Craigens Resort on Gull Lake in support of the Ride for Healing. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be back in just a moment. On the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall, there are 58,267 names now listed on that polished black wall, including those added in 2010. 39,996 on the wall were just 22 years of age or younger. 997 soldiers were killed on their first day in country in Vietnam. 1,448 soldiers were killed on their last day, their Dearest Day, the day they were planning to come home. We'll have more information on the wall as the show goes on. I'm Tom Lyons, the host of Minnesota Military Radio, and we're recording live today from Craigens Dining Room on the Craigens Resort on Gull Lake. My co-host for the show this morning is our state VFW Department Commander, Lee Elferts. And we have another guest with us today, Charlie McIndon, who was on the committee and does some radio up here in God's country. Commander, one of the things we didn't talk about at the ceremony yesterday was you had the traveling Vietnam Memorial Wall there, and I saw a lot of folks stop by.
That's correct. It was very well received and very well visited, and again, as what's happened at probably every place that's ever been, there's something of meaning that's been left at the wall. In one particular case, a lady had been wearing a bracelet, a POW bracelet, for the past 40-plus years, and as she looked at the wall and went through the alphabetical listing of those that were killed, she found that name on the wall and presented us with the bracelet. If that doesn't tear you up, nothing will.
And as usual, when I go out to see the wall in Washington, D.C., and when I see the traveling wall, a lot of Vietnam veterans stop and touch the names of their buddies that they lost in the past. Charlie, you're joining us. Tell us a little bit. You're a Vietnam veteran, and you do a little veterans radio show up here.
Yes, we have a monthly talk radio show, second Friday of every month on KKIN 94.3. It's a live show. Call in. Veterans can call in and ask us questions. My co-host and I, we try and answer the questions. We can't answer them all, but we do know the people that can, so we refer you on. It's a great show. It's we have a guest each month. We've had the commissioner and many other people from the area, from the hospitals and the cemetery, things like that. And it's just We had a lady that called in not too long ago that didn't even realize that her uncle and her brother were entitled to a headstone on their graves in a private cemetery. So we help people, things like that, and it's kind of a carryover for central Minnesota here of your station and your reaching out to the veterans.
Charlie, what years were you in Vietnam?
1968 and 69, I was in Thailand, and 1972, I was in Vietnam for a short time. Served a little bit of time, 4 years in the Air Force and 4 years in the Army.
And Charlie, the state, the department commander here, got you, took you away and put you on a committee here for the Ride for Healing. How did he bamboozle you into that?
Well, actually, it wasn't him. It was Catherine here at Cragen's.
Catherine Stotka did it. We're going to have her on shortly, and we'll ask her about that.
Catherine is quite often a guest on our radio show, and she knows my involvement with the veterans and both here and in the legislature. And she called me up, and she says, how would you like to be on this? It would be a privilege. And from that point forward, working with the commander here, Lee, and many of his staff out here, and staff here from the metro, from the Minneapolis, from the Brainerd area, we put this thing together, and by golly, it really turned out nice. God shed some tears on us over the weekend. We wish we could have calmed him down a little earlier, but it took him a while but he helped us out. In the end, turned out to be a very good program.
Lee, you've been planning this for months, and you've got a huge committee. A lot of people helped. Been running promos all year. It was quite an event. Tell me about the committee a little bit.
Well, Charlie has earned a nickname for those of us that work with him. He's no longer Charlie. He's Radar O'Reilly. Because it seemed that no matter when we needed something and we didn't know where to turn, and Charlie said, oh, I know somebody. I'll give them a call. I think I can do that. And in every single case, Charlie came through, and it's just been amazing. But yeah, there's been, and I hate to mention them because I'm certain I'm going to miss somebody, but I know certainly Catherine here from Cragen's and the staff has been just phenomenal. We have Kevin Theising over at Lakes Printing, Bob Sherman, who did the website for us, Jeff Ledeen, who is just a workhorse, always willing to do anything he can imagine, anything he could help with, he did. Just as I said, just truly a workhorse. There again, I'm sure I'm missing people here because there were other people, but those in this area are the ones that come to mind that I can think of, and Catherine can fill you in with the rest of them. But it's just been truly a labor of love.
Charlie, we just got a minute or so. I want to get Catherine up here before we go to break on this segment. But you worked hard on this. We were live on your radio station yesterday talking about the Ride for Healing and all the work that went into it and what this gentleman here did. Started something big. Any final thoughts for us, Charlie?
Yes, Tom. I'd like to thank you very much for coming on our show yesterday and talking to our local people. Many other local area residents and businesses that I made contact with. First of all, the one, the only, Mr. Dutch Cragen here with Catherine. Always there for the veterans, Dutch, year in and year out. The Anderson Brothers Construction, we're looking at the Landsberg Landscape people, the Martin Communications, the 371 Senex Station. Unbelievable. County Sheriff's Office. Many, 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 not to slight anyone, step forward to help. And it was just an awesome event, working, communicating back and forth with the commander and his staff in the metro area and the folks up here. Jeff Ledeen, I worked very hard under Jeff Ledeen. He carried a big load. Jeff carried a very big load, and I was very proud to help him out with whatever we could. So, I would do it again in a minute. I do want to make one quest here. All of our young veterans, our new veterans coming back from Afghanistan, Iraq, etc. Come on, folks, step forward. It's take over. We'd be more than happy to turn the reins over to you. We're kind of getting up in the age.
We are? No, we are. Charlie, come on. You've got plenty more work to do.
And there's step forward. Come on up. We're waiting for you. Take the reins. We'll be gladly sit back and listen to you and give you all the assistance we can. A new generation coming forward, and we need some people up in St. Paul at the legislature. And come on forward, veterans. We need the numbers.
Charlie, I want to thank you for you and your wife for all the hard work, and I want you to keep up that Veterans Call-In show and make sure you keep cooking up here.
Thank you once again, Tom.
Thanks, Charlie.
Privilege.
Commander, we got another committee member stepping up here now. Catherine Statka, does she ever sit down and rest?
Only at 1 a.m. That's her break period.
I'm not sure that even works. I get emails from her at 5 o'clock in the morning. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom and Commander, and also Jim Terry, part of the committee that I work with. It's a pleasure to be here.
Catherine, we want to make sure that we thank Dutch Craig, and he's always there. Of course, you're there in front of him and right with him, but Dutch always says yes, and he's always supporting, whether it's the Strong Bonds or it's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon or if it's Ride for Healing, you're always there. Thank you.
That is correct. Craigens has always been a strong supporter for our veterans. Just visit our website, craigens.com, and you can see what we have available for golfing and fishing. But we also do events here at Craigens. We do an annual Military Family Appreciation Day. And silent auction gives some money back to the Family Assistance Center.
You did a great job for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation last weekend.
Yep, that was last Sunday.
When I was talking to Lee on the phone when he started and when we had the commissioner on the Memorial Day show.
Yep, and we partner with Camp Ripley, and they bring in Humvees, they bring in Rock Climbing Wall, and, of course, Minnesota National Guard soldiers. So they come in, and we partner with them for that day.
Lee, look at her face. You think she has any fun doing this?
I don't know that I've ever seen her without a smile. So.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, I did want to say a few words on behalf of my family. My heart was in this Ride for Healing with Mudley. And I have three family members that served in the Vietnam War. My brother, Dan Peterson, he's in Plymouth, Minnesota. Andy Scholl is my brother-in-law, and Steve Rivers, my brother-in-law. They're all in the state of Minnesota. They couldn't be with us, but they sure were here in my heart for the weekend.
Lee, this young lady's done a heck of a job for you, didn't she?
It would have not happened without her.
You guys are too kind. You know, we had a lot of committee help. We had a lot of volunteers step up for this program, and I was so proud to be part of this. It was phenomenal. Rain or no rain, it was a pretty good weekend. So I thank you for asking me to be involved.
Catherine, as usual, you and Craigens have done a great job, and this morning you gave us a beautiful, beautiful morning to do the show live. Now, if we can get Commander Ulfert's woken up here and talking to us a little bit, we'll be all right.
It was a fantastic program. Those flyovers yesterday were just pretty good. Dutch Craigen was coming in, and he looked at me, and he says, you know, when I was looking at those flyovers, he said, I felt it was just for me.
Yeah, we had the World War II training aircraft, the T-6s, fly over in four formations, and they did a heck of a job, although the county commissioner might have been a little upset. He interrupted the national anthem with that last. They came over one last time that we weren't sure of, or didn't they? That was a fun event and a great ceremony out there, and Lee, you gave a heck of a speech.
Well, it was a very difficult one, but... If it helped, then I just praise the Lord for that because he gave me the words.
Did a good job, Lee. Catherine, great job as usual. It's always good to come up here and fun to broadcast from
Thank
the dining
you,
room
yeah.
at Craigens Resort on Gull Lake.
Thank you so much. And don't forget to give your Vietnam veterans a hug. I think I gave a lot of hugs out yesterday, so I'm giving a big hug out over the radio. Thank you to all of our Vietnam veterans.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, live from Craigens Resort on Gull Lake. We'll be back in a few moments with more guests to talk about the Ride for Healing. Please stay with us. Of the 58,268 names on the Vietnam Memorial Wall, 244 soldiers were awarded the Medal of Honor during the Vietnam War. 153 of them are on the wall. There are three sets of fathers and sons on the wall, 31 sets of brothers on the wall, 31 sets of parents lost two of their sons. This is Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording live today from the dining room at Craigens Resort on Gull Lake. My co-host for the show today is the Minnesota's Department VFW Commander, Lee Elferts. And Lee, I know we've been talking about your committee and the Ride for Healing and all the work that's gone on all year and longer and culminating in quite a week. And I know you had some people you wanted to talk about.
Well, in particular, when I had this vision a number of years ago, I approached a person who had done something on what I thought was a grand scale, and I asked him if he would be willing to be my chair for this event. And fortunately for me, and I think unfortunately for his bride, he said yes. And so the Terry Piper, who took over the chair of part of this, really has been the glue that held it together. He's the one who's done the phone calls. He's the one who's made the contacts. And Terry has really done an outstanding job, and I just can't thank him enough and never will be able to thank him enough. And he's just done the job.
So let's hear it for Terry Piper. Well, Jim, we have another member of your committee joining us. You want to introduce him?
It is my pleasure to introduce a fellow Vietnam veteran, Adjutant Quartermaster for the Department of Minnesota Veterans of Foreign Wars, and the person who coordinated the 4 days of riding. And you would have to have seen the planning that went into this to realize what a mammoth, mammoth task it was. And I can tell you, it went off flawlessly. Jim Hesselgrave has done a job that is unequaled, and my gratitude goes out to him, my heart goes out to him, and my thanks goes out to him.
Now, Lee, we had to drag this gentleman up to the stage and handcuff him to the chair. Jim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Tom.
It was a big week, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic week, a monumental week of healing. When Lee tasked us with this, I knew it was possible. All we wanted to do was touch the hearts and minds of as many Vietnam veterans we could and try to bring into the fold the younger and the older veterans in a cooperative effort to give our Vietnam veterans a welcome home that they never got. Now, many of us have had a welcome home. And Lee's vision was to put us out into the communities where these individuals may not have ever had a thank you, a welcome home. And I can tell you by the partial debriefing of the four teams that came in here on Friday that if we touched one, we touched hundreds. And we did that. We did that. And it was a healing for me as well.
Jim, what years did you serve in Vietnam?
I was in Vietnam in 1967, 68.
A couple of tough years, weren't they?
Yes. Lived through a Tet Offensive. But I made it home. It's the heroes on the wall that we try to remember. The POW MIA wristbands that we all wear in remembrance of those that still haven't found their way home. I think what Lee accomplished here, what our teams accomplished this past week, is the start of, as the commissioner has said, the start of 12 or 13 years of welcome home. And by the end of that 12 or 13 years, by God, we're going to touch them all. And God did cry on us. He did.
Lee, with guys like Jim on your team, I think I'd go back into battle with him. He did a great job this week, didn't he?
Indeed, he did. And a side note to this, one of the people that I've watched over the years that's struggled and dealt heroically with his service in Vietnam was Jim Hesselgrave. And Jim's heart is for others, and he never thinks of himself. And it was time for him to think of himself. And so when we met at the Capitol and we started out, I dedicated this ride to Jim Hesselgrave, and it was for him that we did this.
Jim, thanks for all your hard work this week. Any final thoughts for our listeners, Jim? Lee, that's you've got a pretty good team there.
There's none better. And without all of their efforts, their sacrifice, their hard work, this could have never, ever happened. We keep talking about Lee, and this is not about me. This has never been about me. This is about those guys that need help, and we did a little bit about that.
It was a great job this week. We've been joined by another guest, another Marine. I'm in trouble. I've got two Marines up here at the stage.
That makes us a majority.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're broadcasting live from Craigens Resort on Gull Lake. And joining us now is Colonel Rod Gurdis from the United States Marine. Last time I saw you, we were talking about Desert Storm and how those Iraqis gave up before they even saw you coming.
No, I don't think it was like that.
The Marines kept coming, and the Iraqis just laid down their weapons and said, I'm not going to fight.
I don't think it was quite like that. But good morning, Tom. Good morning, Commander. So welcome. I think we got the story a little twisted there. So.
Well, I listened to it a while ago, and it sounded like you scared them before they even fired a shot. Sounds like a Marine story.
Yes.
But Colonel, we wanted to talk to you today about when you came home from Desert Storm. Your superiors told you a story about Vietnam, didn't they?
That is correct. A lot of lessons learned that we took over that was a positive, and thanks to the Vietnam vets. One thing that was lessons learned is if you train as a unit, you go over as a unit, and you fight as a unit, and you stay together. That was one. Rather than going over as an individual and coming back as an individual, you go with your unit because you train together, you fight together, and then when you come home, you can talk to each other because you can understand. That was a positive. Another thing that we probably don't hear much about is that was the start of family support groups back home, where the families actually could be together to share their experiences, to support each other. For those that had families left behind, whether it was parents or wives or children, the family support groups, and they've even gotten stronger as time going on with the current conflicts, that they could be together back to have someone to talk to and understand. So a lot of support, a lot of lessons learned. For that, they also, when we came back, they had psychologists to tell us, prepare to what we should expect. After being gone and deployed for so long, your spouses, for those that went that were a little older, they were making decisions, they were making paying the bills, doing their thing, and they told us it won't be the same when you come home. You got to allow for transition. The other thing they told us was if you had children, which I had three daughters at home, your children will either accept you right away and come and grab you so they don't lose you again, or they won't come right away because they don't want to be hurt again, and it may take time for that healing to take place. And I had experiences on both sides for my daughters. So a lot of lessons learned, and thanks to the Vietnam vets. When I called back to my staff and we came home, we were being out processed at Camp Lejeune. I said, this is the welcome home for the Vietnam vets also when we came home, because they said everybody back here in America was waiting with their arms open for us. In fact, Commander Lee Alfertz was a welcome home that day for the commander too, because he was there, which I was honored to have him be there. So,
Lee, tell us about when you've known this Marine for some time and you decided to go out to the airport and welcome him home. That was another big experience in your life, wasn't it?
It was really pretty amazing, because I remember my reaction, and I had not thought of this for many years. I believe it is the universal reaction of a Vietnam veteran. When I heard he was coming home, at first I thought, why the hell should I go out there? I didn't get anything. And then I thought, that is exactly the wrong attitude, and that was the problem we had. So I immediately changed, and I said, you bet I'm going out. You bet I'm going to stand there. I'm going to clap. I'm going to cheer. I'm going to look like a fool, and I don't care, because I want these kids to remember. I want them to come home to a grateful nation, and it happened.
And you got thanked yourself a couple times that day, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a pretty amazing experience. I got my first hug and welcome home, and it was very touching.
The lady came up to you and said, did you serve?
She said, asked me if I served, and I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, where? And I said, Vietnam. And she paused for a moment, and she said, oh, you didn't get a welcome home, did you? And I knew I was in trouble. And she looked at me, and I said, no, ma'am. And she said, can I give you a hug and welcome you home? Never heard that. Never heard that before. And it was, yeah, it was kind of cool.
Colonel Gurdis, we're just about out of time for this segment. Any final thoughts about the ride for healing?
What a great week and what a weekend up here at Brainerd with the traveling wall and Commander Alford's speech yesterday was the best speech and heartfelt I've ever had heard in my life, and it was wonderful to see the Vietnam vets out there and to welcome them home. Very, very special weekend for me to participate and give my thank you and my welcome home to them also.
Thank you, sir. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're broadcasting live from Craigens Resort on Gull Lake. Please stay with us. We'll be right back for our final segment. Of the 58,267 names on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall, 8,283 were just 19 years old. The largest age group that we lost in the war were 33,103 that were only 18 years old. Somehow we lost 12 soldiers on the wall that were 17 years old, 5 soldiers on the wall that were 16 years old, and 1 soldier, PFC Dan Bullock, was 15 years old. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been joined by our co-host today, the State VFW Commander Lee Alfords. And once again, coming back to the stage is Commissioner Larry Shelledo from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Welcome back, please. Gentlemen, we've had quite a week, and we're ending it up on a beautiful Sunday morning. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. I think that's what that is after all that rain this week. And we're recording live from Craigens Resort on Gull Lake. Dutch Craigen and Catherine Stock have been great to us, and you've had quite a week. You look like you're just a little worn out, Lee.
Yeah, it's when you have the highs and the lows of the emotions that we've had since last Monday, actually, and it's just... It really is very, very draining. I'm looking forward to a couple of days of pillow time.
Commissioner, are we going to have to carry him out of here this morning? It looks like we might have to.
I'm looking at his wife, and she has him under control.
I think she'll be driving home. He'll be napping in the back seat, probably.
Yeah. He's in good hands.
Lee, we just want to wrap this up a little bit for the listeners that have maybe joined us late. Can you tell us a little, once again, what was the reason for the Ride for Healing, and why did you embark on this journey?
We spent 4 days on the road trying to bring a measure of healing and hope to Vietnam veterans who have never been touched, who have never been welcomed home, to try to help fill the hurt that they've got in their lives, to tell them what they did was honorable, to tell them their service was good, and that they could rest easy. And I think we accomplished a lot of that. Where we go from here, if you would have asked me on last weekend if I would ever go through this again, and I would have told you absolutely not. All week when as we're driving through the rain and all of the obstacles we seem to face, and yet the Lord cleared the way and helped us to bring our message of healing. After yesterday and getting some of the folks come up after the wall and to see the tears and the joy and all of those things, well, next year, maybe.
Commissioner, some of our young listeners might not understand the United States was in a funny place back then. There were draft dodgers and anti-war protests and race riots and all kind of things going on. And when we were over in Vietnam, the most important thing was to get through the mission and take care of our buddies and make sure we get home. And it was just a real, there was no support like there is today or like there was in World War II. Korean, of course, was the forgotten war. But I think some of the younger listeners may not understand what was the problem. But the problem, can you describe that?
Well, I think, you know, I put it down in one word, draft. And the draft was a situation, because what we have found since then, I'll use the National Guard in the last 10 years, they've been over 100% in strength. The young, and they know, they knew from day one, you know, with 9/11 and and so forth, that they're going to have to serve, and they've stepped forward, and they've done it honorably. They've come back home.
All volunteer.
And with that, and then as was mentioned earlier, the lessons learned, not the onesies and twosies that you went off alone and you came home alone. They went out as a unit, and that unit comes back home, and then they help take care of each other. They check, and they have it. I mean, I've had units that are the commander will bring his company together, and it's kind of an annual basis, just to beer and brats and just do a checkup. So it's Lee's opened the Pandora's box, if you will, and we now are going to be continuing that. That is my mission for the next few years, is to ensure that we continue this and bring them all the way home.
Lee, we've got about 30 seconds left. Final thoughts for our listeners?
I'm hoping that those that are listening to this, if you know of a Vietnam veteran, especially if you know if that veteran's in trouble, if that veteran's struggling with some things, give them a hug, thank them, welcome them, tell them you appreciate their service. They may have heard it once, they may have never heard it, they may have heard it 20 times, but I've never had a hug that I've turned down, because you know what, it feels good, and it is healing.
Commissioner, just a couple seconds left, final thoughts.
Thank you, Lee. How do you find a leader? And you've led the way, and we now have a strong vision of where we need to go in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, thank you. From the Ride for Healing program, we learn about Mike Norman, a former Marine grunt who wrote a wonderful book and a poem that I'd like to share with you that is in the Ride for Healing program. I now know why men who have been to war yearn to reunite. Not to tell stories or look at old pictures, not to laugh or weep. Comrades gather because they long to be with the men who they once acted their best. Men who suffered and sacrificed, who were stripped raw right down to their humanity. I did not pick these men. They were delivered by fate in the military. But I know them in a way I know no other men. I have never given anyone such trust. They were willing to guard something more precious than my life. They would have carried my reputation, the memory of me. It was part of the bargain we all made. The reason we were so willing to die for one another. As long as I have memory, I will think of them every day. I am sure that when I leave this world, my last thought will be of my family and my comrades, such good men. We're just about out of time for this special show in support of the Ride for Healing from Cragen's Resort in Brainerd. I'd like to thank all of you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio, and I'd like to thank our guests, Commander Lee Elferts, Charlie McAdon, Rod Gertis, Dutch Cragen, Catherine Stotka, Jim, everybody here, Commissioner Larry Shalado, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.